Hello everyone, we're back again with another episode and we are very excited because we're together.
Finally, for those living in Melbourne, yes, we did it.
We are free of lockdown.
We are finally out of lockdown.
Yes.
And so Myuna and I were so happy when we found out because now we can record episodes together.
The minute the news started coming out, Sefa like messaged me and he was like, where do you live again? To see if we were in the 25km radius, but luckily we are.
Yes.
And that is why we're here. We're ready to come again with another Band Lover episode.
Yes.
Our topic today is a toughie, but we're ready. It's on gender roles in the Pacific culture and the toxic traits that come with it.
Yes. We know it's pretty... not sensitive, yes, sensitive, but like pretty controversial. So some of the stuff we might say, you might not agree with, but just saying, no.
Just saying. No, honestly, guys, some people might may think that we're like too harsh,
yeah,
or like a bit too bold. But mm-hmm. You know, we know not to be overbearing. So the line's right there. We're there.
Wait, where's the line?
Line's over here. It's right here on the line. So
yes.
Don't worry, guys.
Don't worry. Okay. Okay, let's get into it. So as you may or may not know, usually when me and Myuna are preparing for an episode, we usually ask our followers what their insights or opinions are about it. And not surprisingly, we received a lot about gender, like male gender roles and female gender roles. And they were pretty like, I don't know. Yeah, honestly. But we should get into it straight away. Do you want to go first?
Okay, I'll go first.
So we're going to be reading a few responses that we got from our listeners. As always, we keep it private and anonymous just out of respect for those who sent it to us. So yeah.
Okay. Being a girl and having to do all the chores at home while my brothers are treated like princesses, I am not Cinderella. They. Like you said, they, and not the other word.
Yeah.
So I think the Cinder was like... getting a bit emotional there in the feels, you know, expressing.
Yes, I have a lot to say about that, but you can go first.
I mean, I'm a girl, and if you're a girl, especially if you're Tongan,
mm-hmm.
and you're a girl, and you're not treated like this, I don't know if you're Tongan, sis. No, I'm kidding, I'm kidding. I just think, like, I can relate to what she's saying. I don't have many brothers, but, I don't have many brothers, but the brothers that I do have, they are treated... like they're more important than us females.
Would you say they're given more like flexibility to do stuff?
Yes, definitely. Mm. Like if the house was messy and we all had places to be because we're all like, you know, busy and time consumers, the girls would often get told to stay behind to clean the house.
Mm.
And the boys like literally would be able to leave home and just go and do whatever they wanted to do. Sometimes at dinner, after we eat at dinner, us girls are the ones that get put on, asked to do the chores, to clean up, and the guy's just like, it's whatever.
Mm. That's kind of unfair though, in a way. I mean, like, I feel like in our culture, like the men are like expected to like work and stuff.
That's true.
But like, yeah, like I get the fact that they're like working and providing food for the family, putting, you know, stuff for us to eat on the table. But I guess when it comes to like, if we're just talking about like housework alone, I don't think it's fair just to say that because you're a male.
Yeah.
That gives you enough reason to say that, you know, you don't have to do the work in the house.
Yeah.
The reason why I have a lot to say about this is because I actually come from a family of all boys. So we have no girls in the house. So like that stereotype that is... in the houses where there are daughters, it doesn't exist in ours. Mm. So we basically had to do all of the roles that daughters would usually do.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of opened my eyes because I'm like, you know, all these gender roles, I don't think they should exist. And I don't think people should be using, oh, I'm a man, so I don't have to, you know, wash the dishes or do the washing and stuff. So yeah, I mean, my family dynamic is way different. So
yeah, I mean, I never thought about the families that don't have girls, eh?
Mm.
But I do know families that have like one girl, and gosh,
and they still do
I feel
everything,
sorry
yeah,
for the one girl. But yeah, there are some cases where the guys do actually work and some of the girls get to rest, But in I think most cases, in most Tongan families, the girls are expected to. Unlucky for you so far.
Yeah, we basically, yeah. I mean, us boys basically have to take on both roles, if you put it that way.
Yeah.
But I think it's, here's how I see it. Housework is a life skill, not a gender role.
Exactly.
Okay. Housework is something that all of us have to learn.
Mm.
It's not something that's just gender specific. Not only girls. Girls aren't born just to do housework. Like, everyone has to do it in their lives.
What do you think? What about in the modern world? Like, normal living, or like those who are not Polynesians? Do you know if they do the same thing? Like, is it equal in their homes, the men and women clean? Because I feel like it is low key.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, not in, like, no. Yeah. I think general and specific. Yeah, it applies to every culture. Like, yeah, everywhere we go.
Hmm.
But I feel like with our culture, like,
they're extra.
It's just, yeah, like they, yeah, like they say it like out loud. Like, I'm a man. I can do this and I can do that. Whereas in other cultures, it's kind of like in the behavior, but they don't really point it out. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But that was a good response. Yeah. I mean, remember, guys, please don't be playing games 24/7. Help out in the house. Help out your parents, man.
Yeah, for real.
So, I had to learn that the hard way, because I remember when I went through a phase where I was like so lazy, just playing games, staying in my room all the time. And then you would just see my mom like doing all the work.
Hmm.
And that kind of opened my eyes, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's kind of unfair.
Yeah.
So, you know.
No, look, he is. Like, my brother, who's at home, if the girls are not at home and there's stuff at the house that needs to be done, like cleaning, he'll still stay in his room, you know. And my mom's going here and there, doing this and that, cleaning the whole house on her own. And when I come back and I find out, I will yell my head off. Then the next time he does a little bit better, but not, you know, to an extent where he's like learnt to help out.
Yeah.
Because he lives under the same roof. Damn it. But yeah.
That's true. Thank you for that response, whoever sent that in. I had a lot to say. Well, we both had a lot to say.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay, so one of my responses were the enforced masculinity and sometimes chauvinistic views of women. Basically, I searched it up, the word, and it's another way of saying sometimes. Actually, I forgot the definition. Wait, let me ask you, define chauvinistic. Okay, so I searched it up, guys, and it means like the aggressive views. So I think when I read it again, it's the enforced masculinity and sometimes aggressive views of women.
Hmm.
What do you think about that? Enforced masculinity. I definitely feel like in our culture, masculinity, but it's kind of like, this is the way you should be as a male. Do you reckon?
Hmm.
And if you show like just a little bit of something that doesn't fit that mold, that can be like frowned upon.
What does she say about females in there?
And the chauvinistic views, aggressive views. I guess they're saying like, maybe like they're really against like masculinity, you know, like feminism.
Yeah,
their views are kind of like, it's kind of like anti-male kind of.
Oh gosh.
So they're like, no, all men are inferior. Yeah. I hate men, all that shit. I think it's that part. Yeah.
Okay, I thought she was talking about like females are expected to like not be masculine, like not work, or like do you know what I mean? Because like, so I'm just saying, like, my dad, he's like, okay, I'm explaining my dad now. Sorry, dad. But he's like a, when he tells me and my sisters to look for a husband, sometimes he slips up. I don't know if he means it or not, but he tells us to like find someone who will like take care of you, and someone who's loving enough to like have you be at home while he works hard. You know what I mean? I think it's because he's like that.
Mm.
Like, he would never let my mum or my stepmom work. Like, yeah. he won't allow it. He's just like, yeah, he feels like he's obligated to take care of that responsibility, like, and fulfill it, and not let any of us like work.
Mm.
Yeah, he won't allow it. He won't allow her to work.
Wow. I think that's kind of the same with my dad. Mm. I could prefer my mom to staying at home and looking after the kids.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that, you know,
yeah,
it's kind of sexist in a way. Mm. I mean, if it's their choice to do it, do you okay?
Yeah.
But if it's something that's kind of like forced upon you, or if someone tells you you can't do this,
yeah,
I think that's okay, where the line can be drawn. Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
But I definitely, okay, so the second part where it says the chauvinistic aggressive views of women, I think in our culture that doesn't apply. I don't think we have a lot of women in our culture who actually stand up for being a female. Mm. I mean, or at least they're too scared to, like, you know,
yeah,
speak up about, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, as well as men with the whole issue of toxic masculinity and, like, having to suppress their feelings, I feel like women go through the same thing as yeah. well. So it's kind of like a double standard.
Yeah. I don't know. Mm. There's another response that I got that kind of ties in with this, but I'll read it later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I can say from it, though.
Yeah.
Like,
it's very...
I'm pretty big on toxic masculinity. Like, I do believe it's real. And I feel like the people who deny it are the people who actually, like, embody the actual...
Mm.
Like, if the people don't recognize it, yeah, you're toxic. No, I'm kidding, but... Yeah, I definitely agree with what this person sent in. I do feel like the gender roles are definitely enforced and in a way forced upon us. That's a toxic trait.
That's a toxic trait.
Yeah.
So many toxic... I mean, like, I didn't notice how many toxic traits our culture has until, like, I asked the people... And like,
yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. actually thought about it. It was just like,
oh. Or even the ones that, like, you thought, like, were toxic, but you weren't sure, and then those responses kind of confirmed it. I was like, yeah. okay, I wasn't alone in thinking that. So yeah.
Next one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next one. Thank you. I know who you are, though. But
okay, wives are expected to follow the wishes and demands of their husbands.
Expected.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I agree with you, honey. I think that that's a big one for our culture. I'm pretty sure it's the same with the other cultures as well. Mm. Oh, actually, I think.
I mean, there's. I definitely know of other cultures that. Have
yeah.
that.
So I know, like, correct me if I'm wrong. The Samoans, they're like females. The males come first in your guys' culture. That's what I was told. Whereas in the Tongans, it's like, not really, eh?
No, like, yeah, I think Tonga's like so we have the patriarchy, which is like probably the most common in the world, but Tonga is based on the matriarchy, so like in ranking, the women like outrank the man.
Yeah.
In importance.
But I do. I know of some people who are expected to like follow their husbands. I think that's more of like a that ties down to some religions. In the Tongan culture, like my dad would always say, like, if you marry out of the church that I'm a part of, say if I marry someone who's Catholic, I'm expected to go to the Catholic faith. Like, I have to go, I have to follow him. Mm. Whatever my husband tells me to, like, to do, I have to like do it.
Mm.
If he, like, you know, we get money and I want to send money to my family, if he says no, it's no, like, because he's my husband, he's the leader of the family. Us females have to like respect that, you know, and because it was our choice to marry him, knowing that he comes with like a bag, and some of the what's included in this bag is like some of these traits. You have to like swallow your pride, cry silently kind of thing, and just follow your husband, which is kind of like sad. I don't think it's common in our culture, but it's definitely still being
practiced.
Something that I know is.
I mean, when you were saying that, I was kind of thinking of like our culture, Tongan culture, and you know how I said before, how it's like in ranking, in position, the women outrank the man.
Yeah.
But in the family setting, the man is the one who.
That's true.
Do you get it? Like, okay, so for women in.
Oh, yes.
So women like are high ranking based on their social position, but based on their gender alone, it's a whole different story.
Definitely.
Like, I think that's why, it's kind of like.
So weird. Like, just say for example, like fahu, like if fahus, the fahu overlooks and is like misrespected in the family. But in the fahu's family, she has to, you know, follow what her husband.
Yeah, it's whole different. Yeah, it's
wants from her.
It's completely different. So yeah, that's so true.
I didn't look at that point, but that's a good one.
Oh yeah, the whole question of like, Okay, I know a lot of like females are kind of against when people say that they should submit to the husband. Because people kind of take the word submit in being like they should
different
be
context, yeah.
Yeah. But what are your thoughts on that?
I think I don't even know if it's a biblical thing, hey. I think it's actually a biblical thing. Like ever since back then, the wives were expected to like submit to their spouses.
But I mean, submit, I don't think it
like
means...
Okay, what's your understanding of, like, how would you...
Well, I feel like society's definition of submit is like
commit, like...
No, I feel like the more feminist views of submit is being inferior to men, to the husband.
Okay.
So the husband is the head of the house, what they say goes, kind of.
Yeah.
But I feel like the actual definition of submit is kind of like trusting, or like, do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
In that way, like trusting like your husband, that he will like lead the family in a way.
Yeah.
Instead of just like saying that he has more authority over you.
Yeah.
That's what I think about it.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because I was reading, oh my gosh. I was reading someone's post and they were saying, they said, I would gladly submit to my husband. And he's the reason why. And that's what she said. I was like, that's a good way of putting it. If you say it like that.
Depends on what you mean or how you define submit. Yeah.
But that's definitely a toxic trait, that whole wives are expected to follow. Yeah. But I feel like of like modern Polynesian families or Pacific families, that stereotype is kind of like, I feel like we're moving more towards working hand in hand instead of, do you reckon?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I'm grateful for the gospel.
Because they actually
teach that you need to like work together.
Yeah,
the males can steer the ship, but you can't steer it the right way without.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's not like behind every man, it's like next to every
man.
Yeah. It's a good one. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, so the next response, I'm gonna be quite talky, quite mouthy, but it was the double standard between the males and females. Talk about it. Yes, it's the girl, we will talk about it.
Double standards. Okay, you begin, because you said you want me to be so talky.
Yes. Oh well, double standards. Steph, if you could define like what she means by double standards.
Okay, I feel like my definition of double standard is when you limit one gender into not doing anything, but then you give the freedom of the other gender to do. So like, for example, like, men can do this, but women can't. It's like double standard. So yeah.
I'm gonna go straight into it. One of the responses that we received had to do with like, fahus and the white sheets, wearing a mole. So I guess everything that comes in with like, so the Tongan culture is very like, I think that they're very heavy with the females, and so when things happen like marriages, they're giving a female away, like a family is giving away the daughter, their most prized possession, to a family, to a man to take her. So we received a few responses that were talking about the white sheet. For those who don't know, there is a tradition in the Tongan culture.
I don't know too, so I'm actually learning as we go.
I don't know about the other Polynesian cultures, the other Pacific communities, and what they believe in or how they do this, but with us Tongans, females are expected to partake of the white sheet.
Emphasis on
the white sheet. And so basically what it is like the white sheet, when a family gives away their daughter to a man, she has to prove her worth or her purity to her husband and the husband's family with the white sheet. And so it is said that when she goes the first night, she has to like, you know, when she gives herself away to whoever she's getting married to, she has to show proof on the white sheet that she is worthy enough of being the man's wife, like pure. So like you still have to be a virgin kind of thing. You're expected to be a virgin and to stay this out for marriage. And I'm not saying like that's a no-no because you know, I've got someone that we like, you know, believe in being like sexually pure and whatnot. So it's good, but just I think I'm talking in a more very emotional, because like I know some families or some husbands, some males who have married women, and when it comes to the white sheet test, the women fails and they
wait. What's the Can you explain the test? What do they do?
So like, to the good. Okay, so yeah. So let me talk about it. Let's talk about it. I know of two ways of how they perform the white sheet tradition.
Mm-hmm.
One, the married couple spends their first night together. They interact.
Okay. Okay.
They get intimate, and then you know it. Apparently for the females, their bodies, it's supposed to bleed like the first time. So when it bleeds, it stains the white sheet.
Oh, okay.
And two ways, I know one way is like the fahus, the aunties, the mums, the grandmas, the females of the family, they have to like wait outside while this is being performed in the room. And they either like sit there and wait, or they can like bang on the walls while it's being done. So they bang on the walls, they like hit on the walls while it's being done. When they're done in the morning, they're still there.
The couple, they stay the whole night.
Couple leaves the room. The couple leaves the room, and then they go in to check if she was, you know, check the white sheet. A second one I know is them actually being in the room. I think that's a more like back in the day tradition.
Oh, okay, I was gonna say, I was like, oh, wow.
And we know someone so far, I won't tell you, but we know someone who experienced that, and they asked her, she said her fuck was her aunties and her her partner's mum and aunties asked if they could be in the room while she does the white sheet tradition thing, while she does it. And she was just like, whoa, you know, like that's a bit
off limits,
which is kind of true, because like we're in a century now where we like, you know, don't practice though, or it's not really required, hey, like it's not,
yeah, it's really not necessary. Something, yeah, it's just culture, like,
but she shared the story with me in 2017, and so my eyes were just like, what, they still practice that, like it's still expected of the females to take the white sheet test. I'm gonna call it the white sheet test. But yeah, so
wow, okay, that's what
but
it is.
It has come to a point where males and their wives, like, they take the white sheet test and there's nothing on the white sheet, and then
is that a deal breaker?
Yeah, and he feels obligated to leave, like apparently she's not worthy enough for him, so he leaves even after they get married, like after all that celebration. I knew of one, after all that celebration, all that money spent, the gifts, and you know, all that celebration, just everything went to waste because
she didn't pass the white sheet
test. She didn't pass the white sheet test. And it's sad because some females are like, my girl's not there. Not everyone, like, bleeds, you know? Like, not everybody is the same. It's just, they function differently.
Yeah.
And that's a fact, actually. It doesn't, like, not everyone bleeds. So, like, it's sad when, for those women, those rare women who don't bleed, when they fail the white sheet test, their husband may or may not leave. But if they do leave, you know, they don't understand like, what's actually happening. Because it's a culture, the men will leave. And I don't know. What do you think about that, Sifa, now that you know about the white sheet test and how it's done and what it's expected? What is expected of these females? I'm just saying, I don't think it's fair because, you know, a lot of us girls, I know us ladies, when it comes down to the white sheet test, or if we're asked to do the white sheet test, my dad's like cautioned me beforehand, so like, you know, he reminds me, like, if you're married, just think about the white sheet test. But what they don't think about, and I don't know why, is like the males, like, why do females have to be the ones to like prove their worthiness,
and males still
still, like, there's that's nothing true. Heavy on them when they get married.
I definitely see that, and there's like such a massive emphasis in weddings too, like, you can see, like, most of the attention is focused on the bride. Like, the male is just kind of the one behind the scenes. Damn, now that I, first of all, that is crazy. No offense to the oldies or whoever's watching this in the Tongan culture, but that is crazy, honestly. I mean, and that's what I mean, like, every culture has its flaws. Like, if you think your culture is perfect, it's not. Every culture, including our culture, has its flaws, and I feel like the white sheet test is a flaw, a big flaw.
Definitely.
I mean, the fact that women have, anyways, the fact that women have that heavy of a burden on them.
It's so much weight for us women, I think. Like,
and the fact that, like what you said, like, different, you know, bodies function differently.
Yeah.
And it's not like you can change that. So I don't know why they have to assign that white sheet test and just automatically assume that they're
like, sexually appealing. What do you think personally? Do you think it should be, it still should be something that's practiced, or like...
Hell no, what the hell?
I know, people, like...
No.
And that's something very private, you know?
Yeah.
It's something like, should be between you and your husband.
I mean, like, getting intimate in general, that's such a sacred moment.
Yeah.
Like, even in like our church, we teach like, stuff like that is super sacred. Like, I don't think fahos or what your aunties or whatever should
have to know about if you're worthy or not. Or...
Yeah.
And if it's true love, you know, it's supposed to be true love. Like, you accept your partner, your husband or your wife for who they are.
I think also on that note, with weddings, I feel like we should start normalizing weddings that are not for the family but for the people they're getting married. What's that, like the gaveng or something?
Yeah, like
I feel like when most couples, especially Polynesian or Tongan couples, get married, I feel like they don't even have that much control over their wedding because of the culture and the titles and the obligations that are on their family.
Responsibilities. Yeah.
And so I don't feel like they have a say a lot in their wedding. So the wedding becomes more about the family and that's less about them.
And there was so much money. I know there were some responses that talked about like spending money on like galore, like gifts.
Yeah, yeah.
And giving them away, and then like, you know, at the end you're nothing but broke. And then you think like, was it really worth it?
Yeah, no, for real.
Like only for a title. Well, I guess in some big celebrations it's like it's appropriate, but for some like weddings, this it can go really extra, and I think like way too overboard. Yeah, because I saw one of the responses that you got, Sefa. It was talking about the mohenga mole. So for those who don't know what a mohenga mole is, it's one of the things that a bride has to do to offer for the groom and his sisters, the groom sisters basically. So what it is, it's just like a mattress size, it's like a bunch of mats to the size of a mattress, you know what I mean? Like,
the thickness of a mattress.
The thickness of a mattress is how many mats, or like, and I think it becomes toxic when like some females and some families feel obligated to like put more mats on because it's like they're worth, you know what I mean? It's just one of those things like, oh, if we provide just two or three mats, they're gonna think we're a poor family. And then sometimes the family of the groom will think like, oh, she's not even all that because she only offered us two or three mats, you know what I mean?
So they don't feel like
So we all know how expensive those mats are, and it's sad because some people feel like they have to follow that tradition of offering a mohenga mole because it's a must if you do a Tongan wedding, apparently. And then, you know, everyone's broke.
But they do it because it's out of
But they do it because it's, it's part of the culture. So I don't know how people back then, like, because I personally believe that it wasn't like a, like it was a thing back then, but not to that point where it is now. Like, it had to be like,
I think they've
two, three, four, five, you know what I mean? Or maybe like the value of the mats have changed, have gone like more pricey. That's why it's like,
because like Tongan mats now. Or like mats in general is kind of like the Tongan version of money.
Yeah,
it's like the Tongan currency,
because it actually it's like worth grands. And that's like,
that's what I was saying as well. That's what I was saying as well about like, not every culture is perfect. Like, yeah, like Pacific culture in general, like we said in our last episode, it is so beautiful. Like, we have so much to offer. But then there's the other side where, you know, even if we didn't realize it, it does have an effect on us. And that's an example of that whole mohenga mole situation. Because I remember I was watching this like, this Tongan wedding in Utah.
Yeah.
I forgot her name, but it happened, and like she had to come with her family to the groom's house, and they like full stack, like how many?
Yeah.
They bring even furniture too, like mattresses, like actual mattresses, and they came with like food and like put it all there in offering to the groom.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, all of this, like, it's crazy how much. And just because it's, you know, part of the culture.
Honestly, and it costs like heaps.
Yeah, and I feel like like family is important, but especially like family name and like making sure your name is like, you know,
representative.
Yeah. Well enough. Yeah. I feel like that's another factor to the reasons why some families go all out, probably more than they actually need to.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they overthink that tradition a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like, I don't know, some of the Tongans are thinking, because it's not only like the marriages, it's like the process of engagement, the 3-day process of engagement.
Oh yes, you're telling me about that. Yeah,
and before, like even dating, if it's done the Tongan way, like, you know, there's a lot of money that's gone into spending for those kind of events because it's part of the tradition.
Mm.
I don't know. I low-key think it's a waste of money.
I high-key think it is a waste of money. I mean, I already made up my mind, like, when it comes to stuff like that, like, I think when it comes to, like, dating and marriage, and even 21st birthday. 21st
birthday, okay, exactly.
I don't know if you guys, okay, I actually don't like having, like, full, you know, 21st birthday, full reception and, like, the key and stuff. I actually don't believe in the key. That's my own personal opinion. So what I'm planning for my 21st birthday is I actually want to make my key as the cake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna eat the key. Cause like I know the key is like signified for like freedom, but I think I'm gonna go like, probably like my key would probably signify like gratitude for my parents and stuff.
Yeah.
Like the key of gratitude. And just be like, yeah. But with like 21st birthday stuff, I feel like all that money that you spend, it's like almost the same as spending money on a whole wedding. If you see, like, you know, the whole reception and all the fala and all the things. But yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, there's so much to culture traditions that, I don't know. I just sometimes think, like, is it really worth it?
Yeah. I mean, it might sound irrelevant that we're talking about it, but like, just like with culture, like even with genders and with culture, like if you like link gender and culture together, a lot of responsibilities are placed on males and females. I feel like more so like females in our culture, right?
I feel like it was more suitable back then because like, cost of living wasn't that hard wasn't, you know, as demanding as it is now. That's why like a lot of us go broke, is because like we are also living in a world that expects so much of our hard work and sweat and tears, you know what I mean? I don't think it should be that necessary. Like, yes, the tradition and the meaning behind the tradition and culture, like there's nothing wrong with offering your daughter with all these gifts because you're happy. Like, you're happy to give away your daughter. But I guess it becomes toxic when Tongans, I'm just going to speak on the Tongans because I've seen it within the Tongan community, becomes toxic when Tongans start like rating you.
Oh, based on how much you give.
Yeah, how much you give and what you have. That's when it becomes toxic. But yeah, like even though we're talking about this and we have like some negative comments, but you know, for those who are celebrating having big 21st, nothing wrong with that.
No, yes, like, honestly.
Nothing wrong with that.
I was just saying, like,
yeah, personally,
I just prefer to keep my 21st birthday, like, simple.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you have the means to do so, go ahead, yeah, honestly. Go ahead. There's nothing wrong with it. But yeah, but like what we were saying, and like with what we want to reiterate, we do know that there are flaws in our culture, specifically Tongan culture, because we know the most about our own culture. What else is there to say? I mean, if we're talking about gender roles in like in general, I do definitely feel like there's still a lot of stereotypes that still need to be overlooked. And I mean, these are kind of like the difficult conversations that we have to have, especially with our parents, because I know a lot of Pacific parents are very traditional, they're very culturally, how would you say it? It's very like, they're all about the culture.
Yeah.
And I feel like it can be hard for them to understand when we talk about stuff like this, like gender roles. Because I know, for example, for women, you know, some older generations might be like, but that's just our duty as women. Like, but then, you know, newer generations of Pacific people who are beginning to explore different ways of thinking might say otherwise. Like, this is not what all women should be. Yeah. This is what men should be doing only.
I really honestly believe that it's just like, it was something that our forefathers said and our ancestors, because it was fitting for their lifestyle. Like, that's why I think it shouldn't change, but like, they shouldn't like emphasize too much on keeping the tradition alive, because it's not like we're all living in different circumstances. It's a whole new different world.
There are
more priorities that should be put first, and more important things that are more, you know, should needs more attention than other things. But yeah, with the gender roles, I think there's always going to be disagreements, hey?
Definitely. I feel like this is going to be an issue.
Because in the world itself, hey, it's not even only in the Polynesian.
Yeah, every culture, like, I mean, just gender roles in general.
Yeah.
But like we're saying, I feel like we are kind of modernizing. How would you say? Not even modernizing.
What is it?
But like, still keeping the tradition, but not living it in a way that affects us.
It will strip you of your importance.
Yeah, like, of course we are all for cultural, like, you know, heritage, cultural identity.
Definitely.
You know, repping where you come from. But I feel like there should be kind of like a fine line between like cultural identity and like gender and like gender roles as well.
Yeah.
Like, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, so
it should never get in the way of like love or like.
Yeah, definitely. Like, when it comes to the family, certain, if we're talking about the family,
like.
Like
birthdays and weddings and stuff like that, like, even though there's the tradition and you have to like fulfill it, yeah, do it, by all means do it, but it should never get in the way of your family, like the actual purpose behind the celebration, you know, being happy, being together, grateful that whoever's 21 is 21 and they're well and safe. Marriages, as long as they're getting married, it should never get in the way of the actual purpose.
Yeah, like, don't let the culture and tradition overshadow you know what the real purpose meaning. It's true meaning. That's exactly it. I think that's all we have to say about that.
Because if we say too much, it's gonna get a bit rowdy.
But yeah, that's this was an exciting topic to talk about. Actually, really, being able to just open up and encourage dialogue around this. And we really hope you guys continue to join in, please.
My hair looks flawless. No, but yes, I know there's gonna be like different comments and different opinions up there,
and share it with us, honestly, with us, please share it with us. But please, like what we said, please join in this conversation. I know this is such an important issue in our culture as well, so please share with us. We are not the type of people to force our views on you and force you to accept what we believe. You know, this is an open discussion. So whatever views, whatever insights, experiences that you have, in particular toward gender roles, please share them with us and join the conversation. But other than that, we thank you so much for tuning in into yet another episode of Just Saying. Me and Mona are so glad to actually be in person doing it, because it's way easier. I know you guys don't like the sound quality, but this episode, really good.
Yeah.
So if you're not following our podcast, or if this is your first time, our social media is on Instagram at Just Saying Podcast with a double T. Our main pages are also in the bio. You can stream this episode and all our other episodes on all streaming platforms. That will also be in the bio of our podcast page. But thank you so much, and we shall catch you next time.
Yes.
Were you gonna say something?
No, I was gonna. Yeah.
Okay. Keep going. Say.
No, I was gonna be like, for those who are in Melbourne, don't party too hard now. Keep it 2 meter distance. That's why we're 6 meters apart.
Yes.
But yeah, have a safe weekend, guys.
Yes. We'll catch you later. Bye bye.